Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
I'm Xavier.
And this is another one of our weekly Rewind episodes. It's a new thing. We're still testing it out, so I think this is already sounding a little bit better than the first atrocity that we tried.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
I thought the content was very well, you know, but the...
I thought so, yes, I agree. It would have been a shame to just bury that episode.
Yeah. That's what I told you, is like, I was going to release that episode regardless of the sound quality. But due to advances in modern technology that we found in the span of a week, I think this is going to be a good format to go.
Yes, I love technology.
Yes.
But not as much as you see. Always and forever.
Whoa. Oh,
I love that little bitty song from Napoleon. Anyways, so what's on the menu this evening, sir?
All right, so a couple of things we're going to get into here in just a bit. We are going to give a quick review or recap of Walking Dead Season 6 up into the mid-season finale. I know.
You had to say that word. I hate that word. That's a bad word.
I do.
What
just
is the
get...
point of a mid... What does that even mean? Do you have a mid-meal dessert? Well, if it's not a finale, if it's in the middle of this, it's like an oxy... Whatever. It's the world we live in. We have teaser trailers. We have mid-season finales.
It's a mid-season non-finale?
It's not a finale if it's in the middle.
It's a mid-season break.
Yeah, mid means middle, finale means final, end. It doesn't make any sense. Whatever, like I said, this is the world we live in, so...
Right, yeah. But...
You know me, I hate to complain, so I just won't.
I think if they get that over the course of the time you've been here.
Yeah.
No, but before we get into that, just a few days ago, there was a new trailer that dropped. It was the second trailer to Batman v Superman.
Second, sort of. There was technically like another, not trailer, but it was like a full scene.
No, it's going back to what you said. This is the world we live in. Now we have teasers for trailers.
And at first no. It was like a little, like a 1 minute scene of the movie.
Right.
It was just like, here's a 1 minute scene of, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where Batman's tied up and Superman's walking down the corridor. Everybody's like bowing to him.
Right. And that was just to tease the fact that a new trailer was going to be on. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel that it dropped.
Yeah, okay, now, I mean, I like Jimmy Kimmel okay and all, but Jimmy Kimmel, really? When did he become, like everybody watches Kimmel, man? You know, this is the best place to drop it.
Yeah, you'd think something like, I don't know, Jimmy Fallon, Tonight Show, I don't know.
Is the Tonight, I assume the Tonight Show is number one, because it's just always been number one.
Right, yeah.
Ever since, I mean, Johnny. Ever since Johnny.
But I don't know.
Minus that year that Letterman got his brand new show, and then he was beating fucking Leno. And then Hugh Grant had to go bang a whore and talk about it on Leno, and then everybody came back to Leno, and it's been the Tonight Show ever since. Fun fact, boys and girls.
Where are we going in this conversation?
That Leno sucks, man. He stabbed Dave in the... Wait, no, that's not what this episode's about.
Yes. That's a whole other topic for our show. Yeah.
No, okay. That little 50-second, 1 minute scene... It's cool, you know, Batman's, you know, ooh, Batman's tied up, ooh, Batman's wearing a coat, he's sand everywhere, he's in the desert, what, and that's all cool, and then we know in the movie the Superman is, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen
it. Yeah, we're going to spoil anything that's been released on the trailer, so.
We're going to spoil the trailers, which are, in fact, spoilers. For the fucking movie, and we're going to be spoiling Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But just to talk about that one little thing, it was a fine scene, I didn't need to see it, but... It committed that sin that I've talked about before on this show. Phantom did it. Fucking Batman Returns did it first, and then Phantom did it. Where the fucking... He pulls his mask off, or rather Superman pulls Bruce's masks off, and all of a sudden there's just no eyeliner around his eyes.
No guyliner?
Yeah. No guyliner. Oh, and that annoyed the hell out of me. You know, at least Kick-Ass... There's a scene where they show Nick Cage applying the black around his eyes because you know, his big daddy looks very Batman. And then when McLovin Red Mist guy, he takes his mask off. He's got like the raccoon face because he's puts the makeup on. At least Kick-Ass addressed the fact that you always paint black around when you wear a mask or a domino mask, whatever. So fuck this movie. No, fuck this movie yet. Let's talk about the actual trailer.
Yeah, then you might be saying that. You know what? There's some cool scenes in it in the actual trailer. There are some really bad moments in this trailer that
expound.
Let's start off with it. Starts off with the introduction of Bruce Wayne. Or this I think this trailer focuses more, at least on Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
It's like a red carpet Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, yeah, and apparently Clark Kent
doesn't know who Bruce Wayne is. Yeah, aren't you a reporter? Isn't right? that like your
job? Yeah, but it's okay. You know, I have the little meeting of them two, which
the meeting. Oh my God, Bruce Wayne meets Clark Kent. Like, unless you know that they're actually Superman and Batman, why would you ever say that? Why is it a big deal that a millionaire is just talking to a reporter?
That's the main problem right there, and the fact that the way it's delivered
yeah.
is just so over the top. Like, who talks like that? So
it's either there for the audience to be like, oh my God, it's, you know, Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh my God, they're meeting! It's either for the fans to just, you know, right. get giddy, or Lex knows who each of them actually are, in which case, again, fucking spoiler.
Yeah, that's the only reason, like, a villainous person would say, like, the names, yeah. like, the way you said them, you know?
Yeah. Or it's just bad writing to get the audience, like, well, oh my God.
Yeah, it could be a little bit of both.
It's probably both. I don't know. Either way, it's bad.
It's just, like, you get a certain vibe of this movie. At least I've gotten a certain vibe ever leading up into this whole movie. So far, and then when Eisenberg comes out with that, it's Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne. The way he talks, it's like a whole different thing. It's like it's so dark and gritty, and then it's like this guy comes out of nowhere, acting like a clown, pretty much.
I do not know what Eisenberg is going for with this thing, with this portrayal, this character. I do not know what it is, but so far, maybe it's different. It'll be in the movie, but so far, I am not on board with this.
That is the one, quotation marks, air quotes. Yeah, that is Eisenberg as Luthor is the one sour grape from this whole thing. I cannot get into, man. I don't know.
Have you been on board? Are you psyched about this movie this whole time? Have you been on board this whole time?
Mainly for Bruce Wayne. I want to see Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne. So far, everything I've seen with him, I'm digging it, you know.
I don't know, man. I was excited when I heard – well, we talked about this again. When I first heard, I was like, Ben Affleck, and I kind of just ran with the crowd until I stopped and be like, well, what's my issue with him? But now that I'm seeing him in the suit and seeing him as Batman, I don't know. He looks a little silly to me.
I can see that. There is a little bit of silliness in that, but again, man, I gotta be like, I'm still positive thinking on this one that this is he's gonna be good. He's gonna be a good Batman, Bruce Wayne.
I've been trying to be positive this whole time. I really have. I'm trying to turn a new leaf, and I've been trying to be positive. I don't know if I can keep being positive anymore, especially after this trailer. Because okay, so they meet, and he's like, "Ooh, feel that iron grip handshake, like Burt Reynolds and shit," you know. Or what? So again, does he know he's Superman?
The way he said it, you know, it was like, "You got a handshake. Don't pick a fight with this guy."
Yeah,
it's like,
because you know he's plotting to put these two guys against each other.
Apparently,
so is he foreshadowing like, "Don't pick a fight with him." So does Lex Luthor know both of their respective alter egos?
This goes back to what we just said. If he doesn't know, it's really bad writing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's no positive way to spin that scene.
So let's just call that a spoiler. Lex Luthor knows who Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent are.
We should call that spoiler number one.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Get a tally going here.
Okay, so what happens? We get a little bit more some action and stuff, and the Man of Steel. What does he say? The Man of Steel versus the Bat of Gotham, which I've never heard anybody say.
No, yeah,
it's probably because it just doesn't sound cool. Although, yeah, I do like the little back and forth, or rather, I like Bruce's bit about it's kind of hypocritical for the Daily Planet to criticize Batman or whatever, you know, and you know, every time Superman saves a kitten from a tree or something, you know, but he's clever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, I guess it's the Gotham in me, you know. I don't like clowns or
I don't trust freaks. I don't trust freaks dressed up as clowns.
Freaks dressed up as clowns. Yeah, there you go. I was like, that's kind of cool. You know, Bruce Wayne in a conversation would always get the better of Superman.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So that was cool.
And
then I don't even remember the middle of it of the trailer, and I just watched it like 10 minutes ago. But the ending
a lot
of the
more
trailer.
Fight scenes. There's a lot, you know.
Okay, the money shot of the trailer, the two money shots, if you will.
Yeah, there's a couple good shots.
Lex says something like, "Well, if God won't, or if man won't destroy God, the devil will do it," or something. Yeah, and he's unzipping the body bag with Zod.
Right, right.
And I'm guessing.
Spoiler alert.
I'm guessing he either turns Zod into Doomsday or uses Zod's DNA to create a brand new Doomsday, like a clone or something. Right. Either way, now I fucking know Doomsday is in this. I did not know that.
No, yeah, I didn't either. Yeah,
I didn't either. Yeah, I did not know Doomsday was in this. How cool would it have been to be like, oh my God, Doomsday's going to be in this. And I say, I quote, again, I'm using air quotes when I say Doomsday, because when I saw him show up on screen, my first thought was, they have a cave troll. He looked like the fucking cave troll. And you know, Doomsday is one of the awesomest villains ever. You know, he fucking kills Superman. He's got a cool look with the hair and the bones in his face and all that, and they kind of didn't really do the bones. He looks more like the fucking... And he shoots... fucking Zack Snyder's like, I have one request, and that is to have cave trolls with freaking lasers coming out of their faces. Since when does Doomsday shoot lasers out of his face? Because it's coming out of his eyes and mouth. Whatever, okay. And then he shoots at them, and then Bruce Wayne is like, oh shit, I'm going to die. And he doesn't die. And why does he not die?
We have the Trinity is completed with the arrival of Wonder Woman. Yes.
But now I know how Wonder Woman shows up.
Yeah.
Like, I literally know how they'll meet. I know that they will not, you know, I literally know when Wonder Woman is going to show up in the movie.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. I mean, we've seen Diana Prince, like, getting into a car and stuff. She might show up in the movie, but Wonder Woman won't show up until that exact scene, and I know exactly how it's going to go down.
Yeah, so...
I literally saw the Trinity coming together.
Literally, yeah. So, it's just, you know, the... you know, it takes away everything about the whole scene that could have been cool in the movie, and it's like, there you go. You don't have to watch the movie now, because we just showed it to you.
We talked about the four trailers spoiling. I was gonna say spoilering the movie, but yeah, and then we get that one shot of the three of them, and Batman's holding a gun.
That's what I think. That's the a lot of comments on that one, a lot of complaints, people questioning.
Really?
You know, yeah.
I haven't read anything about this, and I didn't even notice that. I saw it once on my phone. Mm-hmm. And then right before we recorded, I watched it again on my computer, and it was a little bit bigger, and then I noticed the gun. I didn't even notice the gun the first time.
Yeah, I didn't either until I started reading some comments, and I was like, oh, he was holding a gun. Okay.
I mean, I don't care if it's that fucking sonic cannon he uses in Dark Knight Returns, or if it's that EMP gun he uses in Dark Knight Rises or whatever. Point is, just the because that shot of the three of them, we're going to be seeing that all over. That's going to be that Avengers spin shot. We're going to be seeing that thing. We're going to be seeing that image for months, for next year. And every time we see it, I'm going to see Batman with a gun. And you don't see that. That's just not the image. No.
Yeah, because you shouldn't have to see an image of something and say, oh, well, it's not really a gun. You shouldn't have to explain it. Like, you shouldn't have to say, well, it's probably just an EMT thing or a sonic thing. Or...
Give us the money shot where it's just Batman, like, looking badass with a batarang or something, and then have him pick up a gun when it's just him. But, I mean, that's the money shot.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like,
does Warner's not know that, you know, his gun thing, his issue with that? The marketing department, rather. I don't know, but so many mistakes.
I want to say yes, but they probably don't.
They probably don't. And it makes me think, like, do they know these characters? What do you think of Clark Kent? I mean, he looks like a fucking supermodel with emo glasses, with, like, hipster glasses.
Oversized emo glasses, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way you can make Henry Cable look normal. You know, that guy's, there's no way you can just make him look normal.
Yeah, he's too handsome.
Yeah, he's still good looking. That guy's like carved out of marble. He's an Adonis. He's, I mean, whatever. Anyway, you can edit that last bit out. But yeah, I mean, Chris Reeve was a good looking guy, but he, I don't know what it was. He
Christopher Reeve, Clark Kent. Yeah, he, because what he did was he had mannerisms and he had posture in the way he spoke, and everything was different about his Clark Kent. And then whenever he turned, you know, he went into Superman mode, he stood up straight. You know, he, you know, had a, the way he talked was a little bit different. His everything was so subtle, but it was part of a complete package that
He pulled both of them off at the same time.
Yeah,
and he was a good looking guy. Chris Reeve was a really good looking guy. Yeah,
yeah. He's no Henry Cavill though. That's for sure.
No, yeah. Well, anyways. So yeah, I don't know, man. I'm gonna see the movie.
Oh, definitely, they got my money, but yeah, still, but it's just one of those things where as this movie, I mean, this trailer came out and I was like, huh. Whereas when the first trailer came out, I was like, okay, all right, I can really get into this movie. But this one, just okay. Well, you showed me everything. You showed me. What else is there? You know,
I was like apprehensive, but I was trying to be on board. I was trying to focus on the good this whole time, but I don't know, this last trailer might have, because it's not just like, it's not about what the movie showed me. It was about the people behind the movie, how they're approaching it and what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's that too,
and like the marketing side of it, like
like
how they put that trailer together, and this is we're like,
do you think
4 months away?
Yeah, do you think, like, Snyder or does Chris Nolan produce this? I don't know. Or whoever, Goyer, anybody involved in the creating of the film, do you think they have any say in how it's marketed? Or do you
think it's all just Warner?
Do you think it's purely Warner Brothers?
I would think so.
Like, do you think Zack Snyder is like, no, don't show that. No, that's a terrible trailer. And they're like, fuck you, Snyder. We already got you. We already wrote you the check. You're done. Now it's ours. We're going to
I'm just picturing Warner Brothers executives like, fuck you, Snyder. We already got your money.
You did your bid. Yeah. Now go home. Go home and count your money.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. I know people are like wetting themselves over this trailer. It's getting a good response, but I don't
apparently,
know.
You know, going back and, you know, watching that trailer just a few minutes ago, there is that one scene, like you were talking about in the middle, where there's, you know, a lot of action and things like that, showing different clips, things like that. There is one scene where there's a lot of, like, looks like, I hate to say it, but maybe the paratroopers from Apocalypse. You know, Darkseid's, if you go back and watch...
I didn't catch that at all.
Yeah, they're flying, they got the wings, you know, just... You know, just straight out of the fucking...
So Darkseid's in this as well?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what I... the troopers, the little soldiers, there's a lot of flying fuckers
soon to be throwing Darkseid. I mean, God, have some fucking patience. They're literally throwing... First of all, we get all three, Trinity and Doomsday and Lex Luthor and now fucking Apocalypse demons and shit. Jesus Christ.
I definitely
see... They're probably going to throw Jesus Christ into the movie.
That's for the sequel, man.
Yeah.
No, but it's... I could see them going there eventually, but yeah, they shouldn't blow their load on everything.
Well, I mean, this whole movie is them blowing their load.
Yeah.
You know, throwing all three of them. And then Aquaman's going to be in this too?
Oh, that's the one thing we didn't see in the trailer.
Oh my God, that's the one thing they're keeping. That's true. Well, they're actually keeping two things from us: Aquaman and the bald Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh yeah.
Which I don't even give a shit about.
after what I saw that trailer, I give two shits about this dude. I don't know why they cast him. I don't know.
And then there's that. Then there's the whole like somebody in charge thought that was a good idea.
That's mistake number one. Like if you're going back and looking at the mistakes made, it's like. I don't know, man.
Okay, what made it move more? The Civil War trailer a couple weeks ago or this one?
Oh, man, that's... I don't know, Civil War, it was...
You had to stop and think.
Civil War, man, I don't know, it's... You know what I like about it? They didn't tell us everything. Like, I still don't know everything.
What is the story? We don't know the story, other than, I guess it's about Bucky, but I mean... They gave us no real spoilers. Maybe a spoiler is Rhodey. He's lying there. I don't know. But again, that's not full spoiler. It makes us think it could be, but dude, I think, again, this comes... Yeah, Marvel, I thought that trailer knocked out the park. Dawn of Justice, I'm focusing more on the negative.
Yeah, and do we talk? We didn't talk about that trailer, did we?
We did, I think. We did on the Jessica Jones.
Oh, okay. Well, for this, do you want to re-talk about it since no one could hear it?
Yeah. No. If they want to hear it, they can go back and just sit through that Jessica Jones episode. Just come on, bear with us. Everybody owns a pair of Bose headphones these days, and just put them on, cancel out every other noise, go into a soundproof booth.
You know, after the first 5 or 10 minutes, your ears start to adjust and it's not
as
bad.
Yeah. I got used to it, yeah.
Yeah, but...
bear with us. It's a good episode.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Civil War, I'm actually looking forward to that more now than Batman v Superman, which is a shame because I was really... They really had my hopes up for this movie. And something could turn around between now and March. We got 4 months, but I don't know what else they could show us or tell us about it that they didn't already reveal in this trailer. So
yeah, it would give us Aquaman. They already showed us that a long time ago with that picture. Like, we know what he looks like.
Yeah, exactly. So but anyway, I think that's
yeah. That's enough about that.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on, we just got finished watching the Walking Dead season 6. Well, it's been released so far. Which is apparently the mid-season, which had up their last episode, which they call the mid-season finale. But Xavier's rolling his eyes.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Okay, so let's get into it. What do you think so far about... Okay, up to now, what do you think of season 6?
Well, okay, hold on really quick, though, if you don't mind. Before we get into the final season, let me ask you this. Are you a fan of The Walking Dead? I kind of want to know where you're coming from. Or the okay. You know, listeners might want to know, what is your just general opinion on the show, The Walking Dead?
I like it. And that's, I'm familiar with the comics. I read some of the comics, so I'm not like hardcore. You know, if it's not from the comic book, it sucks type mentality or anything. But
yeah,
there's definitely some flaws. It's not a perfect show, and I get bored. I get bored watching it sometimes because there's a lot of nothingness going on.
They should call that show The Talking Dead. Not that other bullshit.
Yeah. Dude, I stopped watching that too. But you know,
I do. I have not watched that forever.
Yeah.
No, I watched a little bit of Talking Dead, like in the premiere, just out of curiosity to see if it's gotten better. It hasn't. It's still
the same
really
old, same
boring.
Old. Yeah,
yeah, it was still really boring.
And Chris Hardwick loves everything. And
this show was amazing! Yeah, that guy's got a big boner for Walking Dead.
Everything.
Well, for AMC, who writes his paycheck.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But what about you, man? What are your thoughts on Walking Dead?
I am. I watch it still, but it's more like I have to because it's the show everybody watches. I feel like I can't, and plus it's an erotic thing. Like, I've watched it for seasons. I can't just give up on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm just incapable of it. People are like, well, if you hate it, why do you watch it? Because I can't stop.
You know, that's kind of like how I am with Supernatural.
Like, you don't like Supernatural?
I like it, but it's like I'm like if it canceled right now, I'd be okay. But I still watch the show. Just because it's been on for so long, it's like, God, what else can you do?
I actually haven't watched any Supernatural this season, and when it ends, I'll binge it.
Okay,
that's what I did last season too.
Actually, it hasn't
when
been
it
that
ended,
bad.
I binged it.
This season hasn't been that bad. It's actually been pretty decent. But anyway. Okay, but you want to get into season 6 now, specifically?
Well, my opinion of the show is, yeah, I'm not. I watch it out of that. I almost kind of hate watch it.
No, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm not a super duper fan right now. Like, if it was to end right now, I'd be like, cool. I wouldn't care. I'd be like, good. Now I'm you know, released of that burden.
Exactly. That's what I was saying about Supernatural. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I was kind of hopeful this season that it started kind of promising.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot, it opens with Rick in the quarry, and there's like thousands of walkers. I'm like, oh, what's this? This is not where I was expecting the show to pick up. Like, what happened before when Morgan showed up and he just killed the architect dude or whatever his name is? That's another thing. I don't know anybody's name in the show. I keep forgetting people's names. So if I keep describing characters, like my physical characteristics, forgive me. And then okay, let me ask you this. What'd you think of the flashbacky black and white shit from the premiere?
It was a little jarring at first because I didn't know what was going on, but I had to like had to take a few seconds to figure out what was going on. But that's like one thing that Walking Dead always does, though. Like they'll end an episode on like a cliffhanger or something that you got to see the next episode for, and then when the next episode comes in, it's like it plays up something totally different, and you have to wait to get back to where they were on the cliffhanger spot. And that's the one thing that always kind of gets my nerves.
Yeah, the storytelling is very fragmented. Like they will spend one episode focusing only on this character, and then the next episode only on this character. It's like 3 weeks before you get back to the character, and you kind of forget like what was going on with that again.
Yeah, I've done that before. Yeah,
yeah. I thought the black and white was a little, it was boring. Like really, like, there was no better way to jump back and forth between timelines than just making it black and white.
It's different, you know, but
I thought maybe they were trying to do like the original Dawn of the Dead black and white, like they're paying homage, but that was just giving them too much credit.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah,
but I'm okay. What else have happened? Ethan Embry was in that episode.
He was
an asshole. So we're like, oh, a brand new character, and they you know, we learn all about him, and then they kill him in the episode. But whatever, he was an asshole, so I'm not raising any.
But the thing you were just saying about when they find all the walkers trapped in the quarry and everything, and that plays out though pretty much just the start of what happens throughout the whole rest of the episodes, you know, because Rick devises a plan to lure them away. But
would that have been your plan? Lure them all out? Or would you have thought of a way to try and kill them all right then and there?
There's a lot, dude.
Because really, you're unleashing thousands of walkers into the world. Some of them could probably come back. Some of them are going to kill other people. Some, you know, you've got them all herded right there. Just fucking... Couldn't you devise a way to kind of like... Dude, you're never going to get a better opportunity to kill to kill like 5,000 walkers or whatever. But his plan is to just let them out?
Unleash him to the rest of the world, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's his plan? Let him go? I don't know. I was like,
I don't know.
I'm sure I'm not the first person to complain about that, but...
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't... Well, when I heard about the plan, I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't think, oh, God, that's the best you can do, but I don't know. I guess you gotta do something, but...
Because they end up hurting them. Because, like, this is supposed to be a dry run. Oh, this is a dress rehearsal. We weren't supposed to do this now, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was still the plan.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like, later on in that season, just jump ahead just real quick. When Daryl, he stumbles upon this, I guess, it's like, wooded area, but it's all burnt up and everything. Where they had I guess it's like a fuel tank or something that these guys had. And it...
That dude with the two chicks?
Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, that could have been, you know, an alternative to what, you know, the plan that Rick had would be to burn them all or, you know, fry them or whatever you're going to do with
them. Gasoline is very abundant in this post-apocalyptic future. Everybody has tons of gasoline. I mean, the road was lined with cars, which means every single one of those cars, somebody had to drive it and put it in the exact spot. So there's tons of gasoline. None of it is evaporated in the years or however long this show's been going on.
Yeah.
What is the timeline in the show?
Dude, I don't know. Because wasn't it like 6 weeks or 6 months whenever Rick woke up from the hospital?
Well, okay. I do it with the baby. A little ass kicker. I forget her name. However old Judith. She is. Yeah. Judith, there you go. Yeah. If Shane hit that while Rick was asleep, so you get 9 months plus however old the kid is. The kid's like, what, one or almost probably a year? But yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
Okay. I still don't think the gas would have been... Whatever. Whatever. So the next show... Okay, so they're herding the walkers, and then there's a big old horn in the show.
Yeah, they finally get... Yeah, their plan... His plan pretty much worked, which was going to be...
It was working.
Yeah, Daryl and Abraham and Sasha were going to lead the herd. Was it like 20 miles out?
20 miles, yeah, I remember that.
And then they're going to circle back around and come back. But right when the plan was finished up, we hear this, you know, big old horn go off. And
okay, then it ends. And then we had a week to be like, who's ringing the horn? Who did you have any theories at the time? Like where the horn was coming from or what was causing it or
maybe something with – I knew it had to be something with, like, the other the wolves. That's what I was thinking, just because they've been hinted about in the past season. So I was thinking maybe it had something to do with them. But
I remember at the time thinking I bet it's Coral's creepy girlfriend. For some reason, because she's all like, we're all going to die, and it's pointless. And I remember thinking, like, I bet it's Coral's evil girlfriend. But but the wolves. Okay, here's something I wasn't sure if it was made clear in the show or not. It was the wolves attacking.
Right.
Did they just happen to attack, and it was just bad timing that Rick and everybody else, every able-bodied person was gone? Or did they know Rick and everybody was hurting it, and they're like, now's a perfect time to strike because they're defenseless?
Yeah,
the defenses are down. Let the slaughter begin, you know?
If they had said that, that'd be awesome.
Was it bad timing, or was it an actual strategically timed attack?
They never really said, but I would imagine maybe they've been stalking them out and, you know, staking out the place and seeing what's going on.
Yeah, because they got Aaron's bag.
Is that what? Yeah, yeah.
Well, Aaron, the recruiter guy.
Yeah.
After he's done defending it, he finds his knapsack there that he had lost.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of that, so he realizes that's how they know about this place, because of me.
Yeah.
So he sort of like shoulders the burden on that. Now, so the next episode, like the first episode, is all about Rick and everybody, all the people trying to lure the herd. The next episode is all about Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, every able-bodied person is gone. You got nobody left to defend the place except the one character I give a shit about. And that is motherfucking Carol. They should call the show The Walking Carol. She's the only character I give a shit about. She's the only badass in the show. When she's in there, she's in the kitchen like cooking or something, and she sees a dude kill a chick, one of the wolves, and she just like bam goes into beast mode.
Right.
And then she gets her gun. She's like running through the grass, watching them kill people. She's not even trying to save people.
Right.
She's like, let me see how this guy will kill that girl, so I can, you know, get a strategic.
She's got to assess the situation. Yeah.
She's sneaking through the grass like fucking John Matrix, assessing the situation with her gun and her knife. And she starts just taking him out, man, and heads straight for the armory, gets gun, paints a W on her head and disguises herself and starts just taking out motherfuckers left and right. She's fucking bad at, I mean, she even says, like, do you want me to go with you? And Rick's like, no, you stay here. It's because he knows you can trust, you know, if Carol's watching, you're in good hands with State Farm. Fuck that. You're in good hands with Carol. She's going to get shit done when you're gone.
Yeah.
She fucking pretty much defended the whole place. Single-handedly.
When did Morgan come in?
Fucking Morgan. Oh, life is precious. Oh, fucking Morgan. He refuses to... Okay, I'll ask you later on when we get to...
All right.
Yeah, so Morgan shows up. He starts defending it by, like, knocking guys out with his little... He fucking does his little Donatello routine and starts knocking dudes out, but he doesn't... He, like, captures a dude and is tying him up, and then Carol just shoots the guy while he's tied up on the ground dead. I love that. And then fucking that priest dude.
Right.
He's getting, there's a wolf on him about to kill him, and Carol and Morgan are walking, and she's like, leave him. Like, fuck him. Let him die anyway. He talks shit about me. Fuck him. And then Morgan's like, I can't. So he goes and, like, damn it, we're so close to losing Father Gabriel, who is useless at this point.
He hasn't done nothing.
He's so annoying. He hates everybody. He talks shit behind your back.
I love it. There was a scene later on in the season when he's putting up the prayer session signs, and Rick walks past him and just rips them down.
Just
right in front of him.
So unfortunately, Morgan saves Father Gabriel from a dude.
But more importantly, he saves one of the wolves. Well, he lets some wolves go, and then one got injured, and he kept him as prisoner. He wants to save him.
Yeah, and he lets the dude pick up a gun and leave. That's not going to come bite him in his ass. It already has come back to bite his ass, letting some wolves live.
Mm-hmm.
This fucking guy. Fuck Morgan and his stupid preachy pie in the sky mentality, man. Fuck him.
Pie in the sky, yes.
Yeah. So they eventually they reclaim whatever Alexandria, thanks to Carol.
Right.
And I guess some shit happens. Most everybody makes it back eventually. Oh, Abraham, Daryl, and Sasha. That's okay. The third episode is focusing all on them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's well, when Errol...
The, no, no, no. The second episode was basically
that was
about...
the second episode.
No, the second episode was the attack on Alexandria and the flashback to... or the flashback for Coral's girlfriend.
Her like stupid parents.
Like, we give a shit. Like, who is this girl?
But her parents were so stupid.
Well, yeah.
Do you remember the opening scene where they show, like, her parents are trying to hotwire a car, and, like, one of them's reading the directions, like, and then she's, and then Walker, she's like, Mom, Dad, all right, 1 second, just gotta get this car started. Like, no sense of urgency whatsoever. And then she's like, Mom, Dad, and it cuts to them just getting eaten.
Yeah, well.
And she's like eating turtles and shit. but yeah, again, who gives a shit about Enid? Her name's Enid, right?
Yeah, like, what
yeah.
the fuck? Have you heard that? I've never heard that name before. Enid? Is that a name?
Ever?
Yeah.
That's a name.
Is it?
No. Yeah. You ever read Ghost World?
No.
Enid? She's the main character.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's well, a name. Later. Anyways.
And then the third episode was the... oh, okay, yeah.
That is the one with Daryl and Abraham, right, and shit?
No, the third episode is the Glenn situation.
Oh, God! Wait. Oh, yes! Wait, is that...
Yeah, because Glenn and Nick and whoever
the
else...
The tried to kill him.
Yeah, they're trying to kill... There's some walkers in a building. They got to kill those walkers.
Oh, yeah.
In order to make sure they don't get distracted or whatever.
With that black dreadlock ponytail dude with the glasses?
Yeah.
He is in the book. I just remember physically that character's in the book. I forget his name. But whatever. Is that the... okay, does that episode end... With Glenn and his murderer on the trash can.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the whole. No. I'm sorry. It didn't end with that. But that's where that situation happened. Because
I thought that was like the ending of the episode, like the cliffhanger ending.
No. He shot him. Well, he fell on top of Glenn. They fall onto the ground, and you see all the walkers pile on top, and I think you're made to believe that Glenn is getting eaten alive or whatever.
Yeah, if you're stupid.
But it actually ends with Rick trying to get back to the RV. And those wolves that fucking Morgan let go, they ambush Rick at the RV, and he ends up killing those wolves.
That wasn't the same wolf. Oh.
Yeah. That was the end of the episode.
Oh, that was them?
Yeah.
The ones that Morgan
because
let
had,
go
they
the
had,
raid?
Yeah, they had Judas' little baby food bottle. That's how he knew it was from the town.
Oh, I didn't... I don't know.
Yeah.
That was like a month ago. I don't remember it. So the show didn't even end with the Glenn's getting quote-unquote
right.
eaten cliffhanger?
Right.
Oh, I thought it would have. Because then they milked that for like a month.
Oh,
they
yeah,
were,
they did.
They tried to pull a Walking Dead. Like you know, the last image of Jon Snow is him lying there bleeding. At least Game of Thrones actually showed him getting stabbed like five times. Like, for the watch! watch, and you're like, fuck you, Ollie. At least they showed you Jon Snow really getting stabbed and really bleeding out. This one, unless you're fucking stupid, you realize that it's the other dude's guts that are getting eaten.
Right.
And why? And Glenn is screaming like a little bitch when he should know play dead or something. Is this your first rodeo? But the fact that none of the walkers tried to, like, we've seen them eat faces. They fucking ate Ethan Embry's face two episodes earlier. So how he managed to live through that was stupid, but I knew they weren't going to kill him. Because if you're going to kill a main character, a character from season one, an Atlanta crew, if you will, because there's like, four Atlanta people left?
Yeah.
You're going to make a big deal about it. You're not going to make it ambiguous. You're going to be like, bam, we just killed him.
Yeah, and that you're would not, be something... That's going to be, and that's going to be the end of the episode. That's not going to be, like, thrown willy-nilly somewhere, like, towards the end, you know.
So I can't believe people were really like, oh my god, Glenn's dead! I'm like, are you stupid? So the next episode is Morgan's episode.
Yeah, and they spent an hour and a half on this episode. This is a longer episode.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like a 90-minute episode or something.
Oh, I thought it just felt like that in my brain because it was so boring. Well, yeah, he we show him alone. He hooks up with my man, John Carroll Lynch, an actor I really enjoy. He's in Fargo. He's in a lot of good stuff. And I was like, oh, cool, John Carroll Lynch is in this episode.
He was enjoyable in this episode. Yeah.
He's like a forensic psychiatrist, and he teaches Morgan Aikido.
Mm, yes.
Fighting style used by Steven Seagal and Harry Crumb.
You don't say.
No, Harry Crumb. Everybody knows Harry Crumb. John Candy has a black belt in Aikido and the boots to match. So that's where Morgan learned how to be Donatello and shit. And he fucking, again, oh, like they show him killing just innocent random humans. He kills like a father and son.
Mm-hmm.
And then later when him and John Carroll Lynch, I forget the character's name.
Eastman.
What?
Eastman.
Eastman? Okay.
Yeah.
So him and John Carroll Lynch are like, they see a walker come in and he's like to Morgan, like, you take care of it. And it's the human he killed. He just freezes up like, and then John Carroll Lynch has to go save him and ends up getting bit because he's saving Morgan's useless ass. That's the first time Morgan's I won't kill got somebody killed, which is ironic, is that his stupid I won't kill philosophy gets motherfuckers killed. So it's kind of ironic. And the thing is, he like pushes Morgan out the way and turns his back on the walker. Like, you have a stick. You know how to use it. Why didn't you just walk up and kill the walker? Why are you... He got himself killed too. It was like 50-50. 50% Morgan being a pussy. 50% John Carroll Lynch applying none of his fighting skills whatsoever.
Just forgot everything.
I forgot I was a badass for a second. I don't even remember how that episode ends. It's just the Morgan... Oh! It turns out that whole episode is like him telling the story.
Yeah, yeah. To the prisoner.
To Gingivitis Wolf. That dude's got some bad teeth, man.
Yeah.
He's got cavity creeps. We make holes in teeth. That guy's got some awful teeth. And he's keeping that dude hostage.
Hey, something about the wolves. Are they... They're not supposed to be cannibals or anything, are they? Or are they just savages?
I've never gotten the cannibal. I don't know if they're in the books or not. I've read like the first 100 issues, and where I left off, they were like setting like if the show is following the books at all, roughly, I think the show has just recently surpassed my book knowledge.
Okay,
because like Rick's become constable of Alexandria and he's walking around with his one hand because in the books Rick has one hand.
Yeah,
and half of Coral's face is blown off, and he like hooks up with Andrea, who's still alive, and then the book ends, and I think that's like the last issue I read. I think it's literally issue 100. So I don't know much about wolves or not, if they're a thing. I don't think they're cannibals, although they do just hack dudes up with axes, like chop your arms off.
That's what I'm saying, dude. They're like this like total, almost like Reavers from Firefly. They're just like, so they're crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
they're just running around and just like slashing people up. Yeah.
Like monsters. Right. Okay, so after we get Morgan's episode, it cuts back. I don't even remember what happens here. Episode like because I didn't even watch it for like a month.
Yeah,
I literally waited for about a month and then I watched like the last four episodes the day before the finale premiered to refresh my memory.
I know the next episode is that's the one where Maggie says fuck this, I'm going to find Glenn.
Oh yeah, and yeah. She takes Aaron.
Yeah,
recruiter dude. That's right.
And this is where I think this is the first time she says she's pregnant. Like that's when we learn that she's pregnant.
Yeah. After they spend like 5 hours talking about it in the sewer.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It was a really boring episode.
Yeah. I don't remember that much else about the episode.
I don't know. Shit goes down. Point is, I'm trying to remember, man. It all bled together.
That's pretty much it. Like,
I remember, like, the dude, the chick in charge. Like, I know her son, like, gets drunk. And, like, it's your fault. And she's like, ah! And then, like, at some point, Abraham gets a hold of, like, an RPG, which is cool.
Oh, now, that's the...
That was a while ago, yeah.
That's the next episode after that.
Okay.
Yeah, whenever... it's basically Daryl, Sasha, and Abraham's story.
So Daryl gets, like, held hostage by that dude and the two chicks.
Right, they just finished up the 20-mile thing, and they're about to turn back around, and they're going down the street, and they all get ambushed, like, guys, like, jump out and start shooting, you know, rifles and shit at them. And that kind of separates them. Sasha and Abraham are in the car, they go one way.
Yeah.
Daryl, he falls out of his bike or something like that, and he...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Abraham and Sasha get ambushed, and then Abraham gets out the car, and he bends them over and shows them all 50 states. That's a thing. People are saying it, I'm sure. Anyway, so, yeah. So, yeah, that's right. And then him and Sasha, like, spend the next episode talking. like, are you suicidal, are you not? But they don't say it. They have to be, like, vague. That's the thing about the dialogue, which is... This show is very dialogue-heavy. Mm-hmm. But nobody just says it. They have to, like, speak in metaphors and you know, work mm-hmm. around it. And so nobody's ever clear about what they're talking, which is annoying because they talk a lot.
You gotta love the irony.
Yeah. So, yeah, Daryl, like, he gets away from these people, and he manages to steal...
Walking Irony, that'd be the name of the show.
Yeah, the Walking Irony. The Talking Irony.
Yeah.
Fucking shit. So, yeah, Daryl, he takes their stuff, he takes their bag, and then he realizes, oh, there's insulin. So he gives it back to them, or he decides they're not bad after all or something.
He has a heart. Daryl has a heart, so
he's... He has a heart. No, they get attacked, and he, like, helps them or something.
Yeah, when he went to go give the insulin back to him, that's when they get... surrounded or whatever, and he helps them escape. And then
turns out you can't trust nobody.
Right.
They turn it back on him, mm-hmm. and they bike jack him.
After he asked the three questions, man, that was messed up, dude. If they only knew how important that was, that he was asking those damn questions.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he asked them the three questions. He could have given him sanctuary and celery soup in cans, but no, they weren't having it, so they turned their back on him. And
apparently that the guy that
that's was the there, last we see of Daryl, right?
In that episode, yeah. Because he finds the truck, he finds the little fuel truck.
Oh, that's right. Then he picks up
Abraham.
So now they're on the way back with fucking RPGs.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that.
See, that going back to what you said at the beginning of this, RPGs, that's how you take out trapped herd of zombies.
Yeah. I'm hoping, like they pull up and they're like, holy shit, there's like 1,000 walkers at the gates. And he, like, blows them up. But doesn't blow up the wall. It's a strategic RPG launch.
Well, we're not going to find out because of what happened after the last episode.
What is this? What are you talking about? The last scene of that episode, or the last scene season?
The last scene of the season.
Okay, I read about that. I didn't actually watch it. Maybe I left the theater earlier.
Have you learned nothing from Marvel movies?
Yeah. Well, fucking Avengers: Age of Ultron didn't have one.
Yeah. What a shame, huh?
Right. I waited there the whole fucking time, and then it just, like, that was it. No.
That's a war of attrition, man. You wait
ten movies in, you're giving me post credit scenes. That's like 6 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Thanks, Marvel.
That's like 8 minutes, dude. Eight to 10 minutes.
It's a lot of credits. A lot of special effects. Anyways, right. What is the scene you're talking about? Explain it, because I haven't seen it. I've read it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah, jumping ahead just a little bit here, but the last scene is basically going back to Daryl, Abraham, and Sasha. They're driving back to Alexandria in the truck, the little gas fuel truck.
Shooting RPGs in the air, like,
right?
Fuck yeah.
Right? but they're driving down the road, and there's the gang... I guess it's the same gang from before that was attacking them, but they're all in they're blocking them in the middle of the road. They tell them to get out and everything, and they basically say that all their possessions now belong to Negan.
Whoa, we don't use that word. No, Negan.
I thought it was Negan this whole time, but I could have been.
Have you read him in the books? Are you that far?
No.
I know he's a book character. I haven't gotten that far either.
All I know is from what everybody tells me, he's a cruel son of a bitch. Or he's a bad character. He's a bad.
He's like he's like another governor.
Yeah, but worse. Like 10 times.
But worse?
Yeah. So he's a bad guy.
Man, Majama?
Yeah.
Well, I know that. Well, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is playing him.
Well, there you go.
That's been announced, and he is a bad Mamma Jamma,
right? Yeah.
Most people know him as the comedian in the Watchmen movies, mm-hmm. or the dad in like the early Supernaturals, or sadly, a lot of people know him because he was in Grey's Anatomy he was that dying patient that knocked up fell in love with, and he like left her money, and that's why they wrote her. I don't know. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy.
He was a star. He was a star of Losers.
He's in fucking Losers. Yeah, there you go. He's a cool actor. I like him.
Yeah, I dig him. Yeah, I think he's underrated, actually.
Yeah. So when I heard he was cast in The Walking Dead, I was like, oh, cool. I was psyched about that. I do not know anything about his book character, but I guess he's the villain.
You know, it's funny because when the news broke that Negan was going to be out, like everybody kind of, you know, basically freaked out. Oh, he's going to be on the show, yay! And here's who's playing him. Oh wow, he's going to be playing him. I was more excited the fact that I'm getting Jeffrey Dean Morgan back on my TV.
Yeah,
like that's, I don't care who he's playing. He's going to be on TV. Okay, you got my attention.
You don't watch Magic City?
Yes, I did actually. Not the whole thing. It was on a, what channel was it on?
I think it was on Stars.
Stars or Showtime, I think. But right. I didn't have it. I only had it for like two or three episodes, and then I lost it. But anyway, I never tracked it back down. But anyway, yeah, that was a good show too. But anyway, that's
okay. I haven't seen that, but I guess now we know what the next latter half of the season will be.
Yeah.
But wrapping up this season, Carol finds out Morgan has that wolf. No, I'm sorry. Morgan goes to D-Nice, the doctor of the show, or whatever she is, and he's like, I got a patient, but she can't say nothing, whatever. So he takes her to go treat, to waste iodine and gauze and shit that's valuable on this fucking wolf.
Right.
To treat him, because the whole life is precious. If he says that line once, he says it like 15 fucking times. and then Carol finds out about this?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
And so she...
Because from a distance, she sees him leaving with Denise over to the house.
D-Nice.
So she puts two and two together of, oh, shit, okay. So that's when she wants to beat him to the punch and go just kill the prisoner, so...
Yeah, she tries to kill him, and it leads to, like, a standoff of them two. And he's literally defending this dude who tried to kill him, who right. tried to kill everybody,
yeah.
who's part of a crew of axe-wielding, arm chopping off her motherfuckers.
Right.
And Morgan is trying to defend this dude. And Carol sees it. She sees the big picture. She knows the score. She knows what time it is. He's got to die.
Yeah.
And they end up, like, knocking each other out.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's not tied down. His hands are tied. And that's the thing, is they leave him with Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Alone with him.
Right.
He's like, his hands are bound, but that's it. Mm-hmm. He could have just jumped up and choked her. So,
which, I don't know.
But whatever.
I was thinking, watching this, because in this one episode, there's a lot of stuff going on, because the Walkers... are getting in
I just realized we jumped ahead.
Yeah.
The episode, the finale season, it's eight episodes. Season seven ends with that church finally falling down.
Right.
The wall comes down. The walkers all come in. That's how it ends. The right. final episode, the I'm like Sacha Bob. The mid season finale opens with that church falling down, breaking the wall. Walkers all coming in. Everybody's taking shelter. People are like, there's like 1,000 walkers coming in, and they stop to like blow two of them away. Like that's gonna stop the wave and just waste their ammo. So everybody, the leader, Deanna, is that her name? The leader of the whole, she gets bit.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody holds up in the woman's house with the abusive husband.
Yeah,
that pretty girl.
Rick's girlfriend.
Yeah, Rick's girlfriend. And her creepy kids. Or no, creepy kid, young creepy kid is in the house. Fucking,
and then psychotic kid.
Listening to creepy music.
Yeah.
He's creepy. He's just creepy. With his creepy haircut.
Who listens to Tiny Tim? Who has a Tiny Tim record?
Well, this is the apocalypse, you know, records.
But of all things to find, you're going to see, that's the one...
ants to eat your cookies and shit. He is creepy. He like gets no sleep because he's got like these dark eyes. He's got this creepy like bowl haircut. Your mom is a hairstylist. If there's one thing that she can provide her children in this post-apocalyptic future is a haircut that doesn't make you look like a serial killer. Okay. So this kid is so creepy. He like lives upstairs because like this didn't change or some shit, or monsters don't live upstairs with my records or whatever. Who cares? Kid's creepy. Everybody goes into her house. And Daryl and Morgan, I think, go to that other house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're separated.
And that's how that happens. Yeah. Oh, and then Maggie is on the ledge.
She's trapped on a one of the lookout platforms.
Yeah, and earlier, like, Glenn lets some balloons loose. Glenn and Enid hook up.
Yeah.
And then she sees a balloon, and she's like, Glenn! But she's, yeah, she's up on the thing with some nice boots. That's all I got from that scene. I was like, oh, this is cool boots Maggie has. Where can I get a pair? So, yeah, so that's how it all ends with their characters. Rick and the whole crew. Oh, the creepy son. The other creepy son. The one who has a thing for Enid.
He's not really creepy. He's just psychotic.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's not creepy.
Yeah. Well, okay. Touche.
Yeah. That kid's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. I remember the one scene where she's like, the mom calls him down. She has the chair and the scissors all hooked up. And she's like, let me give you a haircut. He's like, I don't want a haircut. He's like, this is you trying to talk to me, isn't it? Like, how dare you, mom, try and talk to me now that my dad just died? How dare you, mom? How dare you try to be a mother to me and care? Yeah, fuck that kid. And then when the fucking wolves are storming everything and he's getting chased, he's about to get killed. Fucking Coral saves his life,
right?
Because he's got like a fucking gun, and he goes, "Come into the house, you'll be safe." And he looks at Coral, he's like, "No, like I'm gonna go get killed." Practically, you probably just would have been killed if it wasn't for Coral.
Right?
So he's like, "No, I'm gonna keep wandering around because I don't like you."
It's one thing to be an asshole kid, but it's just like he was like the stupid kind of asshole where your assholeness is gonna get you killed or get other
he
people
killed.
Should
have been dead like three times.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, the finale was really weak for a finale. When Coral is the most interesting thing in the episode, you know that's a weak finale. Because he's in the garage and he tries to kill Carl.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, Carl is like, yeah, your dad's, or he says like, your dad's going to get us all killed. He's a killer. And Coral's like, so is yours. Like, ooh.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, your dad did this and that, but you got to realize your dad was an asshole. Like, this is like the most I've kind of liked Coral at all.
You know, it's funny you said that, because I was thinking, you know, two or three seasons ago, like, Coral was just fucking Coral, really fucking Coral, stay in the house, you know, but now it's just like,
keep an eye on Coral.
Now it's
Where's
just like,
Coral?
You know, now there's other kids like stepping up to Coral, and he's just like, I'm just thinking, Coral could take him.
He could. He did.
Yeah, I was like, good for him.
Yeah. And then this kind of, although, yeah, I'm saying, like, Coral's actually cool in the episode. It's kind of annoying me, though. The kid tries to kill him, and he fucks it up, and they end up, like, breaking the window.
Right,
get attracted. And then, you know, and then they're asking, Rick is asking him, like, what happened? And he lies and says, like, we were trying to get some tools, and we tripped or whatever. You know, he lies on behalf of a dude who should be dead. And
who
I'm like,
who tried to kill you? Yes.
Yeah, and like Glenn did the same thing. Glenn lied on behalf of a dude who should be dead.
Yeah.
Glenn lied on behalf of a dude who tried to kill him. And now Coral's doing the exact same thing, and it came back to bite Glenn in the ass. And like nobody learns anything. If somebody tries to kill you, you need to kill that person. Fucking Morgan makes that mistake. Glenn makes that mistake. Coral makes that mistake.
You know,
just kill people.
You know who doesn't make the mistake? Carol.
Carol does not make that mistake. Carol will let you die if it means having to walk 12 steps. fuck that. Too far, yeah. Yeah, Coral.
It's a lost cause. It's a lost cause.
Yeah, Coral's the only one who. Carol. I'm getting Coral, Carol all confused. And Rick. Rick will kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So they all have to go upstairs. And they are literally they're literally trying to keep the door shut, like with a sofa, and they're all struggling, like they're gonna get it any second again. But Rick still has enough time to go upstairs with Deanna and have like a 5-minute heart to heart.
Yeah.
Like there are people holding the door shut downstairs, and you're like upstairs talking. Like really? Like there's no sense of urgency in this show.
That's the one. That's the one downside of the show. Ever since the beginning of the show, it's just. Like, they'll have really one, like, a high tense, like, action sequence, whatever, and then get you all pumped up, and then it's like, cut. All right, let's talk for, like, 15 minutes.
Totally.
And then it's like, oh, God, dude.
The pacing.
Yeah, it's the weird pacing. That's the downside of the show ever since the beginning of it, man.
So they decide they got to leave this house. So they decide to do the old Walker Guts camouflage.
I like that. That was a nice throwback to the first season.
Throwback. It shouldn't have been a throwback. It should have been a thing we do every day. Like, you have this perfectly tried, proven zombie camouflage mask. that you never use. You send people out in town with just guns and knives, not using camouflage. Like, we got this camouflage, but don't use it. Or Michonne's jawless, armless walker leash method, which also works, which you never use. You just send Daryl and Aaron out with just with a crossbow and a six-shooter with no camouflage. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, that's how winners think. So they finally dig up this old method, and... Oh, but they leave Deandra, what's her name? Deanna?
Deanna, yeah.
Yeah, they leave her to kill herself with a fully loaded revolver. Like, they could have used those five bullets. True. Like, we're going to leave you with one bullet.
Yeah.
Because we need these five, because we're not bit. We're not dead yet, unlike you.
Bitch.
So, but let's leave you with six bullets. And then what does she do? She just... And what does that mean? And did those six bullets, why didn't they, like, stir the walkers up and go crazy? Like, as they're walking out the front door, that's when she's firing six shots. You think they would have bum-rushed the house. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Noise. But
they don't. So they're walking out the house.
All and, in, all in
the little deep. And the little fucking Asperger-y fuck kid. Mom?
Yeah.
Mom? Oh, God. I just wanted to, like, put my – just palm his face like a basketball and shove him into the crowd of walkers, dude. Just eat this little kid.
Yes.
And put him out of his misery.
Fuck that my kid. Misery.
She needs to – I'm sorry. Okay, her husband's dead. Both of her kids needs to die so she could be with Rick and live happily ever after, dude.
Clearly.
I hate to say it, dude, but her whole family – that little kid especially, man, she needs to go. He needs to go. He needs to go. So, yeah. Fuck all her kids and her family. Fuck every Alexandrian, dude. Because if this show proves that... like, Rick's been saying, like, you guys, you don't know what it's like. Like, you're not fit to survive. You need me.
Yeah.
In that back when he was going batshit crazy.
Right.
But this season proves it, man. They are not fit to survive. Evolution, natural selection, survival of the fittest, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
There's that one scene in the premiere, in the pilot episode of this season. It was the black and white scene, I remember, which was a kind of a good scene. They're, because Ethan and Embry's still alive, they're, like, restructuring the walls, making them sturdier, and then some walkers come out of the woods. And Rick tells his people, like, hold on. Like, let the Alexandrians do it. You gotta learn.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta learn how to do this. And they're armed with shovels and stuff, and they're, like, backing away, and they're like, help us! They're so useless. They can't even take out walkers. And then Rick is like, fine, let's move in. And then Morgan and Daryl and all them, they come in and take them out for them.
Yeah.
But it shows how useless these Alexandrians are. So I'm thinking Carol, every time she's watching an Alexandrian die, she's kind of like, good. Like, one less person I got to risk my life for down the line.
Yeah.
You know, less Alexandrians, the better, dude. And I agree.
They were pretty useless. Yeah,
fuck, kill them.
And it's not just they're worthless. It's like their uselessness is getting people killed. It's causing nothing but problems. Yeah. These people being alive.
That one, the main chick, the leader chick, her son leaves the gate open.
Yeah,
because he's just an idiot. And yeah, they're just I don't know how they managed to survive this long. Well, they explain because of the quarry, which I kind of appreciated, because like there's no way these people would have survived that long.
Yeah.
But it's because, like, 95% of the walkers are being ushered into this. What do you think? Okay, so it's the wolves doing that, though, right?
Was it?
Well, it's the wolves who were gathering them in those 18-wheeler cargo, in those 18-wheelers. The one that almost trapped Daryl and Aaron last season.
Oh, was it?
Remember that?
Oh.
Like, Aaron, he's like, ooh, a Hawaii license plate or something like that. And then they open up the 18-wheeler, and then, like, it triggers something that opens them all up.
Oh, yeah.
That was the wolves. I guess I just, you know, made an assumption that it was also the wolves setting up the quarry.
Oh, I didn't.
But maybe not.
Think about that.
Somebody set that up, like, the way the vans were parked and shit. Like, somebody was clearly hurting these things. But what do you think their end game was?
Let them loose somewhere. I don't know.
Was it just, like, a way to, like, literally trap them forever and hope they just die there? Or was did they have a plan to unleash? I don't know. I mean, I'm asking because I don't know if that was explained or not. I guess it wasn't.
No, as far as I know, we see it for the first time. Like Rick sees it, just trucks are parked in a certain way, and they're blocking in all the walkers, and that's about it. But
okay. So yeah, so Rick and the crew were walking out. Okay, wait. Okay, the wolf dude, with the bad teeth. Carol's knocked out. He knocks out Morgan, and then D-Nice, he has a knife to her throat.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Tara and the pretty girl who's always wearing the hat with the
Rosita.
Rosita,
yeah,
and the mullet dude who thinks he's a scientist.
Eugene.
I do not know these people's. I don't care. They end up hiding somewhere, and fucking Eugene is reading a book in broad daylight, holding a Zippo lighter, like for light. That just like, oh god, this fucking guy. I don't know. It's like so bright in there. Why is he holding a Zippo? Whatever. Somehow they get out of there, and then they show up just as the wolf has a knife to D-Nice.
Right.
And he's like, they both have guns on him, and he goes, put your guns down. And like idiots, they do it. Why didn't they just shoot him? Aren't shooting people in the head the one thing you're good at? Isn't that the one skill you've acquired over these months, is being able to shoot somebody in the head from like 6 feet away? So like idiots, they both drop their guns and they give him their guns, and like I don't know why they did that. They should have just shot him.
Right.
And if he happens to fly backwards and his knife cuts the throat of D-Nice, well, damn it. There goes one more exit, you know. It's shit happens. She's useless anyway. She's the doctor.
And doesn't know how to do it. Yeah,
yeah, but she, I mean, you could argue, like, they need her. She's the doctor, but what is she? She had one patient who died. 100% of her patients have died, okay? So she's a useless doctor, so you don't need her either. So, yeah.
But she fixed up the wolf guy.
Yeah, that one patient she managed to save. So, kill the dude, and if D-Nice happens to go down with it, I keep saying D-Nice. Fucking that Key and Peele sketch. I can't say the word Denise without saying D-Nice anymore. Or Coral or whatever. So he gets away with her. I don't know what his endgame is. He thinks he's going to make it out. Hopefully he gets eaten and takes her with him.
Yeah, there's plenty of walkers around there. I don't know how he's going to...
Oh, whatever. No, but that's Tara's girlfriend now. They kissed. So,
oh, that's right.
That's right. So maybe that's why Tara is like, I don't want to let her die. But Rosita should have known better.
Yeah, I think like, she would have some good marketing.
She should have been just like, drop the gun. Just end it right there, man.
Right.
But whatever. You know, just like, yeah, Fifth Element. Boom. So the wolf gets away with Denise, and the little creepy kid is gonna get everybody killed. And then there's that post credit scene we just talked about. Is there anybody left? What about Father Gabriel? Who's he with?
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't care about him. I'm trying to think if there's any character.
No, he was part of the crew that like got doused in zombie blood and guts so they can sneak out.
Oh, was he? Why did they put it on their faces and shit though? It's like they just put a poncho on and just a little bit on the chest, a little bit under the arms. But I'd be like burying my face in that.
Dude, thing. I remember when he did it the first time, the first season. Like he had like guts hanging off of him and shit. Like he was like drenched in freaking guts and blood and shit.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was just kind of weird. I don't know.
And now it's just like one little bitty red line, you know, like a little red war paint or something down there. Yeah.
So that's how we end up the whole season with Daryl, Sasha, and Abraham about to meet up with Negan, I guess. We have Rick's crew. They're walking through the herd. Hopefully that little kid gets it somewhere in the herd. And the wolf has the D-Nice as a hostage. I think is that pretty much it? Like as far as where we're at with
everybody? Maggie's still in the thing, and yeah. Glenn and Enid are outside.
Glenn finally, throughout the whole episode that's going on, she finally, for whatever reason, was intent on this convincing this girl to go back with him. Like, she didn't, like, he had to spend this whole episode, talking to her and trying to get her to come back. And just like, dude, she doesn't want to go. Fuck her.
I hate her, man. She is just so negative.
That's
like, she's like, we're all going to die. No, but I mean, like, she's so, you know, don't be a Negatron. Be an Optimist Prime.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
She is just always.
Oh, good God damn.
I thought you would have loved that. But I mean, she's always like, "We're all gonna die. It's pointless. We're all dead anyway. Just survive. Just something." JSS. She kept writing that on everything, in her pre-credit scene.
Yeah,
she
just
kept writing
just
JSS.
Survive.
Just survive somehow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I was watching it the second time. I went back and watched like two or three of these episodes just to sort of refresh my memory. She keeps writing JSS on everything, and you're wondering why. And then at the end, she leaves. When she leaves Carl a note, and it says, just survive somehow. That's like her mantra. So,
yeah, because when she was on her own for the whole time, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, more backstory to people we don't really care about.
Yeah, I remember the second time. It was only the second time watching it that I even noticed either the note and her writing on the wall. The first time, it must have completely gone over my head because I didn't even care. It was only the second time that I was trying to pay attention because I was trying to refresh my memory. Yeah.
That's how bad it was, dude. That whole that flashback stuff with her and everything. Like halfway through that whole situation, I looked at my wife and I said, "Who is this girl again?" It's
like she's Enid. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So now we gotta wait until like mid February.
Yeah.
To find out how badly that little kid dies. that's all I care about, dude. That's all I want is to see that little kid die. Now that I know Carol's alive. Okay, I can sleep soundly knowing that Carol's still alive, but I just want that kid to die. He's got to go. He's got to go. Yeah, so like I said, I watch this show now just because it's like everybody watches it.
You have to talk. Yeah, you have to watch it.
And you have to have an opinion about it. You know, people talk to me and my friends and stuff, and they're like, you know, what do you think about Walking Dead? If I say, oh, I don't watch that, they'd be like, oh, you know, I have to say something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy how that show is like so popular.
Yeah, like 13, 14, 15 million viewers every episode.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I don't know.
Like, I remember I went to, I think it was this last year or maybe the year before. I went to the Alamo City Comic Con and the biggest room was dedicated to a Walking Dead panel.
Yeah.
And I went to it just cause like, okay, I guess I'll go to it. And it was crazy how packed it was. I was actually there seeing, like, cool people talk, and it was, like, you know, a scattering of 100 people. Mm-hmm. You go to The Walking Dead when it's filled to thousands, and the only people there were Scott Wilson, what's his name, the father, the veterinarian, lost a leg.
Yeah, Scott Wilson. Yeah,
the character's name. Maggie's father.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Guy who owned the farm. I forget his name.
God damn.
Him?
Yeah, him.
And the two little girls. The ones who were like, look at the flowers, and poof, and Carol killed that little girl. I'm telling you, man, Carol gets shit done. Carol doesn't fuck around. Carol does not fuck around. The two little girls, them two,
yeah,
Scott Wilson,
mm-hmm.
and someone else boring, maybe Tyrese or something. Like, it wasn't even like A-listers. It wasn't even like Glenn and Maggie or some shit. It was like, you know, loser characters. And they still got like the biggest turnout. And I walked out halfway through. And it was difficult because I had to like, excuse me. It's like, you know, you get up in the middle of a movie and you're like, excuse me. Yeah, and I have guns and knives on me because I'm dressed like Jane and shit. So it was very awkward trying to maneuver with weapons on me and shit like that. Because I was like, this is boring. And I'm like, if all the idiots are here, that means I can go outside and like there's a short line for like an actually cool C-list celebrity that I care about. But I was just amazed, like, wow, Walking Dead really does have a really rabid fan base. People are loving this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm treating it like this annoying chore. I mean, again, like we were just saying with the Batman v Superman, I'm going to watch the premiere when it starts, of course. But it's not a show I'm excited. Like Game of Thrones, yeah, you have people over and you're making a night about it. It's a big event. Like, that's a show I'm into. This one, it's like... I'll DVR it for an episode. I'll go for a month without watching, and then I gotta clear this DVR out. I gotta watch these Walking Deads. That's how I approach the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in case you couldn't tell. But yeah, I guess that about does it for this this recap, right? Is there unless there are any final thoughts you want to add?
No. I mean, they did a good job of. Leaving it off to where you kind of want to see what's going to happen going forward. So, as far as cliffhangers go, or even as you mid-season finale, I mean, you got the attention to where you could, you know, want to see where they go from there. So,
yeah, I guess, yeah, they did what you should do in a finale.
Yeah,
mid-season finale. All but, right.
Okay, so that's gonna. Pretty much wrap it up for this episode of our weekly rewind of Pop Culture Rewind. that does sound great. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, if you want to follow up on any past episodes, make sure you go to popculturerewind.com and check out all our past episodes and subscribe to our show through iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app. So,
Comment, please.
Yeah. Tell us.
I'm asking. Yeah, I'd love to. We have gotten a few comments, and I get a big happy when I read a new comment. We'll give you a shout out.
And if there's anything you want us to talk about, let us know. We'll talk about it on the air. So
I keep thinking like write us an email and we'll read the emails on the air. So, but that seems so like old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, now we live in like a Twitter world where everybody is privy to the email because it's on the Twitter. I'm still thinking I'm so old school in my head that I'm thinking like write us an email through the Gmail account and we'll read it online. You know, or during the episode. That seems like such an old way of going about things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is actually, but
yeah, so, I was about to say, yeah. So,
but if they go, but if they go to our Twitter or they go to our Facebook page, they can send us a message through either
at
one of those.
Pop Culture Rewind RWND.
Pop Culture RWND.
Oh shit! Damn it! I was
you're close.
Like,
you're close.
File like and I still fucked it up.
You're getting there, buddy. You're getting there.
One day, I'm almost tempted to start a Twitter myself, and like so I can. Like follow the show, and if anybody
you had one a long time ago, didn't you?
I think like years ago, I started one when it was kind of new, but I only like I used it just to like follow like Steve Martin and Tina Fey, like cool celebrity type people, so I could read their funny tweets or something.
Yeah,
and after a while, it turns like every like 3 weeks, I'd be like taking a shit. Let me read some Twitters or something. Like I never read it, I never used it, and then I just kind of like close it out. But I don't think I didn't know anybody personally that I followed on Twitter or who followed me.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I don't Twitter or tweet. What is it? What's the correct verb usage there?
You don't tweet while you're on Twitter, right?
So Twitter is not a verb.
I don't know.
Okay, well
it could be, I guess. I don't know.
Learn something new every day.
That's okay. Why we're here, folks. Yeah.
Alright.
But anyway, until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
That was wonderful.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!
Oh, Herschel.
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 That's that fool's name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Herschel. Yeah, guy who talks like at the speed of Treebeard. That was his freaking name. I do like that actor though. He was the Youngins too. Yeah. He was the governor dude in Youngins 2. Yeah. I did like Herschel. And I was a little like, ah shit, when he died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's about as big a reaction as I've ever gotten to death from Walking Dead. Ah shit. what death hit you the most ever? Can you think of a death that was like, oh, fuck? No, maybe. I was going to say Shane hit me pretty hard, but since I can't even remember how he died, it must not have made that big of an impact. But I do remember Shane being bummed out that he died because he was the only thing that was keeping season 2.
I want to say either Merle or... what was the... fuck, I can't think of the guy's name anymore.
Yeah, that hit you hard.
Dale from
Oh god, I hated Dale.
Did you?
I was psyched to see him go, dude.
Unless I'm
he thinking... was I hated Dale. And when Andrea put him in his place.
Yeah.
Like you robbed my you took away my choice, Dale. Like I wanted to die on my terms and you robbed me of my choice. I was like, yeah, fuck you, Dale. He was like always judging people. Pushing what he thought was right onto other people. That's why I fucking hate Morgan, dude. It's all good and well. Oh, you know what? Damn it! I wanted to ask you this during the show. When the finale, let's just assume the finale, every Walker just drops dead, and the wall just magically, like Superman Quest for Peace shows up. He looks at it and it's like, because he has that power in Part 4.
Right.
He just,
yeah, right. Yeah.
He rebuilds the Great Wall of China by looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Quest for Peace is okay. Okay, would you what's the word? Get rid of Morgan. What's the word? Get rid of him. What's the word? Were you
not expel, but
expel him?
I know what you're talking about.
Damn it!
Excommunicate? I don't know.
Sort of.
XC. X with a C.
Damn it! I had this word. But basically, would you force him out? Exile.
Exile. That's it.
Would you exile Morgan, a guy who will not fight and kill to defend this place?
After what happened? Yes. After what happened that last scene with
Carol. You think he deserves to be exiled for that? Yeah. I think so too, dude. Don't kill him. But like, don't execute him. But yeah, he doesn't deserve to be there, you know, if he's not willing to fight and kill. He'll fight if he's not willing to kill.
Where he crossed the line was putting other people in danger trying to heal or to try to heal the wolf. Because if you didn't want to, kill him, that's fine. But don't go. He went out of his way to fix him up and make sure that he's okay.
Yeah, and put someone in danger too.
Yeah, because if he didn't kill him, fine. But if he bled out or whatever, he died of the wound. Hey, he didn't kill him, but he still died. But you know what I'm saying? Like he forced all that to come about, and he put Dean Ice into place or in danger and Carol and
the whole community, really.
Yeah, because who knows what he's gonna do?
So, yeah, the guy's gonna get out and go tell other wolves and be like, oh, this is the layout, this is how they do this here. There's this one guy who doesn't kill, and yeah. So yeah, they should just Morgan.
When he put himself
Morgan, he's good.
When he put himself he put himself between Carol and the wolf. And when he said she's gonna have to fight him to get to him, that was like, dude, like.
And he's been there like a day.
Yeah.
Really, like he's been there like 2 days tops. Like this is how things work here, dude. You are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come to our door and put in your views on us. You know, like he's a like, yeah, forcing his views on other people. That what were we just talking about? That I came back, it reminded me, it came back around Morgan, forcing your views on somebody.
Dale.
Dale. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Dale, like, thinking he knows better. He knows what's best for people. And that's what I'm saying. Morgan thinks he knows what's best, too. And I'm like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what reminded me about Morgan. Yeah, fuck Dale, fuck Morgan.